2. Testing. 1, 2. Okay, I guess we're just going to skip the microphone and use this. Okay. And I apologize again. You were talking about making the transition from mechanical to...
to mechanical, from mule-drawn equipment.
Mule-drawn equipment to mechanical.
Sharecropping, and this is progress into Arkansas. All the cotton farmers had to change over.
And what year was this?
In the early 50s. Mm-hmm.
And this was here on this farm?
This farm, yes.
Okay.
I think we had 30 mules out here in the lot. And enough men to hands to work them all the mules. So we got a barn out there, still a concrete mule lot. That was keeping out of the mud and the water. And we had a stock pot back there. You didn't have to sit around and pump water on Sunday. You just mules go out in the pond and drink. But we did have a stock tank in the loft where we had it pinned up. They'd get water there. And we'd bring them in at noon. They'd give them some corn, and they'd get water. And you'd harness them back up afternoon and go back to the field. And the colored people, you had a handle their mules. They would overheat them or let them and rest them occasionally, you know, when they were cultivating in the summertime. But anyway, we had a problem of getting the cotton out of the field if we had fewer people on the place that were capable. And since we're way out of Little Rock, we did have people hauling hands from Little Rock down here.
They were doing what?
To pick cotton. But they were scarce.
Oh, okay.
And there's a lot of cotton between here and Little Rock. They wouldn't have to go as far as pick cotton. So we decided to try some Mexicans. So we had a guy that had a truck. He went down to the border and picked some up and brought them up here. 90 Mexicans. We had had an old schoolhouse that we put 90 bunks in it to take care of the people. And we built a mess hall. And we had kerosene stoves for them to cook on. And they're right interested. If they saw some of your soybeans in the bin, they'd help themselves to them and figure out if they could cook them. Just like it would be shell peas. I don't know how. I never did ask them if they taste all right, but I bet they did. You use a lot of hot sauce, you can make anything taste good. So we had a commissary here on the farm. When you had 90 strangers coming in down on by something, it took all the people on the farm that you could muster to help look after them, wait on them, help them pick out what they wanted and take their money. And they pretty well knew how to convert their hours of dollars into their pesos. And everything that they bought here was in dollars and cents. So that wasn't too great a problem. But the fellow that ran the store, he'd always get sick about the time he had the Mexicans. We'd get in there, bail out, and have him take care of it. He just didn't like that much responsibility. So everybody could read and write and speak English would get in there and help take care of those people. Then those weekends, they'd go to England, which is kind of a little cotton town, and they would go out there and spend some money. One of the funny incidents, or sad in a way, one of the young Mexican boys bought a pistol from a merchant somewhere in the England area. And he was carried around in his jeans. He accidentally shot himself in the groin. They missed all the vital parts, I think. But we had to get him to the University of Arkansas Hospital in Little Rock, and they treated him. He lost several days being up there when he couldn't be caught. So you see some humor in the things. And one day I was riding, going across the field to pick up. That's the funniest thing. I saw all these look like tire treads going across down the dusty road. And I figured out finally that they take five old tires. And I guess back in the days when you had cotton, a fiber in the tires before you had steel in them, and they'd take an old tire and whittle out a pair of shoes of those tires and put them on their feet and wear them. Just look like different treads, different tires going across the field. So I enjoyed, that was the lighter side of some of the things. And we had I always thought that the more Mexicans you had, the more problems was what, sometimes they'd come up and want a wage increase, and we, whatever it was, we'd always pay by the pound for picking cotton. And the country is sitting on $3 a hundred weight or whatever it was, $3.50 maybe the next year. But in one time they wanted to see the consulate, and one came from Memphis over here, visiting, and I guess that calmed them down, us too, a little bit. So all in all, our experience with the migratory labor was pleasant. And some of the people, one the next time we had, after we initially hauled some here, we sent and got some people down on the border to haul them up here and look after them. They were bring one or two truckloads up to wherever heavy we'd get that year, close to 90. And they lived across the border to Mexico. One of the things they wanted to buy while they were here in the States, while they're up here, was picture plumbing. They wanted to put out a well. You can drive a well in the ground, 2-inch pipe, get a 2-inch stream of water if you hit the right spot. And they'd buy a screen, which is about 5-6 feet long. They'd go on the end of it. And they'd drive it down to where they could hit a stream of water and they could pump the water out. And they would. They'd take them back to their villages. And that got them water instead of lifting it out of a well.
So they would learn how to make a well here?
They saw observed our wells here. Uh-huh. And then they saw how to... We told them, explained what you had to have. You had to have a point or a screen to put in the ground first. Then if you go 50, 60 feet deep, you drive 2-inch pipe. And you had a driver. We told them how to make a driver. The piece of, you had a something like an old axle that went down inside the pipe, and then he had a metal piece of metal bigger, and you filled it full of lead. They had weight, and then we had tripods, showed them how to fix them a tripod with a pulley on. Group of men we did here a bit, drove our own wells here with the colored people. And that way, they could, when they got home, they could make them a well. And so that's something they were looking for, new ways to improve themselves. So they cooked. They liked the tortillas and their. I guess every man did his own cooking, or a group of men cooperated and split it up. Yes. But they seemed to enjoy it. Of course, when it got cold, we hoped that we're through over picking on the cotton. And through before they wanted to get home. They wanted to go home. That first cold west spell we had, get back to their own families.
Let me go back just for a minute to the very beginning here, when you said that there was a group of men around here decided that they were going to go to Mexico to get some workers to come back up here.
Yeah.
Who made those decisions? Was there an organization or a cotton gin or?
Well, maybe the gins helped do that, helped organize. We had a little coffee pot gin out here, gin their own cotton and the neighbor's cotton around the country, but it was important to get your cotton out of the field and hire pickers, and so association of groups of people. Maybe there were several gins involved, and so-and-so needed 60 hands, or 90, or 80. But I think some of the groups that had an old tenant house need about 5 or 6 men. It was a pretty efficient deal. You didn't have much problem with 5 or 6. The more people you had, the more troubles. You know, they wanted, everybody had its own input.
Now, was this part of the Bracero program, or was this a decision that people made on their own to go to Mexico?
Well, I really wasn't sure, but whether you might have had older people that had been using more braceros. We just used them about 2 years. Mm-hmm. We got in between the end of hand picking with local labor or haul in labor from Little Rock. That was beginning to phase itself out of time for change. The advent of the cotton picker is what came. A fellow named Russ built a cotton picker at Pine Bluff. We bought one of those, and it wasn't as successful as we thought it would be. Then the next picker we bought was a John Deere, a one-row picker, and that helped us. He said, get the cotton out. The next picker we bought was an International two-row. And we didn't have any more braceros.
And what happened to the labor around here that made you decide to go to Mexico to get the labor?
They'd retired. The older people had grown up here. They weren't able to do things. Their kids didn't want to. They did have pick and chop when they were at home, getting their education. They go to high school. And there are other jobs for young people that were willing to work. Many of them have gone to the northern cities from here. Chicago, Cleveland, Dayton, Detroit, just you name it. They went there to get jobs, and they competed and stayed, and now you've got people who are coming back here that they've had a career in the cities and working in factories. They have fair retirement, and they've come back to Arkansas to live in the community. Maybe they had that family owned the 40 or 80 acres of land. They had enough money to build a house. And they like the southern atmosphere, I guess, after all, even though they had to go somewhere else to make their living. Mm-hmm.
What about the black people who worked on the farms? Did they retire, or did they?
Social Security, or some people drew welfare, and we let people live in the house as long as they wanted to, because we had them here. Mm-hmm. And after they were gone, we tore most of the houses down. We still got 1, 2, 3 houses that people live in that have been old retainers, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the truckload of the Bracero workers came here, where did the truck go, and how were they distributed around the farms?
Well, we had a main house. Had a schoolhouse that had 90 bunks in it. Mm-hmm. Room for 90 people. And that's where we put the people we brought here. A lot of the other people, if they got some, maybe had a tenant house that they could put 6 people in. And or 8 or 10, depending on how many hands they were going to use. So people just sorted out from their own needs.
Now, you said that you had 90 working on this farm?
Picking cotton, yes.
Really?
For about 1 or 2 years, at max.
Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, and you said they lived in a schoolhouse?
Had a bunks in a schoolhouse. Mm-hmm. And then we had a mess hall we built. Made tables and places for the kerosene stoves. And then we had kerosene, some heaters that put around to provide heat. We didn't expect them to get out and cut wood or something like that.
Now, I've heard that the government had requirements about their living conditions. Are you aware of those requirements or anything like
that?
Yeah,
we had pitcher pumps over there and a place for them to shower. Uh-huh. And we had the stoves available to cook on. And for heating purposes, too, kerosene stoves. So that's, we pretty well knew what to expect, and we made do with what we had till we could do better.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever have anybody from the U.S. government, or you had mentioned the Mexican consulate, come up here to inspect?
Yes.
The facilities.
From out of Memphis. Mm-hmm. They had a consulate over there. And we had a few questions and problems. So he came over here. Mm-hmm. We got everything, I guess, as far as I know, straightened out. And when they got ready to go home, they went home.
What type of problems did you have?
Being somebody want more money for the going wage that we're paying. Well, that was, it's still been that way ever since. You have somebody, short of labor, hired 2 or 3, 4 Mexicans. And when they hear better pay somewhere else, they're heading that away. So they've got a great line to work in, but I was out of it after 2 years. And that's been in the early 50s.
Do you know how the consulate worked out the problem? You know how the problem was resolved?
I guess he could talk those people into that was there being well treated well enough here that they better that they ought to cooperate. They're here a short time.
Okay. I talked to a gentleman yesterday who said that when the truck would come to town, that it was his job to take up passports, and that he would make notes that, you know, mm-hmm. number one and number two, this is reserved, you know, this person was number one, this person was number two, so on and so forth, and he kept a ledger. Did you have any type of paperwork or any type of processes like that you remember?
No, we had nothing like that.
Okay.
We did consult with the if we'd had anything, our store burnt in 1978. And the IRS was checking on me. And when the store burned, I was out in California on a trip. It was early spring. And the little girl that was looking at my books, she said, I wish I could have seen his books one more time. And she's from somewhere over there in Eastern Jonesboro. And she didn't understand that we bought rubber boots because we wore them to work in with the rice and cotton. And I said, you know, I said, her dad never did charge anything like that at all. Finally, she married an Air Force boy. And finally, the worm turned. She and her husband got in a lawsuit with the government, the IRS. Wow. So I thought, well, every dog has his day.
That's right. That's right. Tell me what kind of work they did. Were they good workers?
Yes, it's piece work, picking cotton. You just got, we wrote it down, you had the crew leaders that wrote it down. You pay him to do that.
Who were the crew leaders?
The Mexicans that could speak English.
Okay.
They might have been Texas Mexicans. Might have had free range over both sides of the border down there, you know.
So if there was someone in the group that could speak English,
yes,
they were automatically the crew leader?
Well, I guess so. We couldn't. We couldn't understand them. They couldn't understand us if they were from way out in the boonies down there.
What type of job responsibilities did a crew leader have?
Well, he would try to get them to the field. If you're going to have to drive them, once most of the time they walked all the road this far. But if he'd take them to town on Saturday night, they'd give him a little money out of their wages. They pay a fee. And they're the ones that bought the pipe for pumps to carry back to old Mexico. So
When you say they went to town on Saturday night, how did they get there?
In a truck.
In a truck?
Yeah.
Who provided the truck?
The Mexican. Well, the first year, I guess, we got them up here on a trailer truck. It was a seed truck at the cotton gin. But on Saturday night, if they wanted to go out there in the seed truck, I guess the man that owned the truck or had his driver take it would charge him a fee, 50 cents, maybe to go. You know, if you took 50 people out there at 50 cents a piece, pretty nice little piece of change, $25. The gas was cheap then. Couldn't do it for that now, okay.
So when they got to town on Saturday night, what would they do?
They go look in the stores and wonder and look. And then it's time to go home about 10 o'clock. Then you let them up out or start gathering them up to bring them back out to the farm.
What type of things would they purchase anything in the stores?
Well, we had a little commissary over here. Yes, they've got some food stuff and like bread, and but they like their tortillas. I see them shopping now in Lone Oak. The Mexican people that are working up on the minnow farms or other type of fish farms, they buy about what they buy. They like hot food, sauce. That's just not normal, I guess, their upbringing and taste.
Did they ever buy any products? The gentleman yesterday said that when they would go to town, that they loved to buy pocket knives.
Oh, yeah. That's where the gun came in.
Okay.
Pocket knives, guns, something like never had the money for, and up here, they buy them and take them home.
Did they buy clothing, or did they buy
they more or less, well, they made their own shoes. We figured that out, that old tires. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what they wore every day. Now, they might have had some cowboy western-style boots they maybe wore to town, you know.
How did the merchants treat them when they would come to town?
Well, it's just, they treated them all right, as far as I knew. I think they appreciated their business, coming in there and look. And I don't think thievery was any problem. I didn't know about it if it was.
When they went to town on Saturday night, did they get involved in any type of entertainment? Was there any?
Not that I knew. I didn't go down with.
Okay. Well, the gentleman yesterday told me that occasionally they would go to town in his area, and they would sometimes go to bars and
drink. Mm-hmm. I picked up women, for all I know. That'd be the normal thing for Mexicans, but they couldn't find any of their own kind up here.
What did they do for fun?
I don't know.
I saw a picture somewhere where you had a group playing musical instruments and singing. Were there ever any activities like that in their spare time?
Not that I knew of, if they brought them. I think these were rural Mexicans that came up and wanted to make a little money and take some home. Mm-hmm. And I think they were thrifty with the necessities. And I think they do the same thing all down through the years. It's when you read about them, they send a lot of money back to their people. In other words, they hope to make enough money up here, whether it's in the harvest season. They want to have they remember their families and the poverty at home, and they want to go back with a little money in their pocket where they can improve what they have. And I've been in Mexico a few times, traveling, sightseeing, and you see, they do a lot of things for themselves, and they make their, they have the brick, the mud bricks that they had, straw. They make, I think they're people with a certain amount of pride, very lot, I think they have a lot of pride, try to better themselves.
Now, you said when they went to town, they would buy food to bring it back to prepare.
We had food over here in the little store.
Mm-hmm.
They could buy during the week anything, like canned goods or whatever.
And they would prepare their own food?
Yes, they did that.
And they had stoves in the place?
In the mess hall.
What type of food would they prepare?
I didn't pay too much attention. I know they cooked beans, mm-hmm. and they tried the soybean. I don't know if they ever got a taste for or yearned for them or not. But
now, when they worked in the field, did they bring food with them in the field?
I imagine what they did to fix while the dew was on to cook something. Fill up in the mornings, mm-hmm. and then get out there and work till they thought they were tired and ready to go back, and they'd cook again in the evening. But,
and again, what type of, were they hard workers?
I thought so. Hell, they might pick cotton, I thought it was a hard worker.
I've heard stories about how they would generally pick more cotton than some of the other folks who were traditionally working in the fields. Did you have that experience?
Well, we didn't have side by side.
Okay.
We gave them their place and put trailers there. And had somebody that dumped the trailer, you know, dumped the sacks when they'd pick it. Mm-hmm. And that's how you got a lot of gin fires. If they had matches in their pocket,
mm-hmm.
if those matches fall out, get in the cotton.
Uh-oh.
When you gin the cotton, if it went through the cleaning system and everything without setting it on fire, if you got it into the, those gin saws could strike a match. This world so fast. That was something you had to watch out for, is fire in cotton then.
So did any of the Mexicans ever work with any of the black people or any of the white people that lived in this area? Did they ever work close together?
Not really that I do.
Okay. So they pretty much kept everybody...
Yeah, everybody segregated, so to speak.
Was there ever any resentment by any of the people who normally did work around here that you had this labor here and other people may not be getting those jobs? Was there any?
I don't think so. There are more jobs, more cotton than there was people to pick it, I guess.
Okay. Now,
that's how we got into mechanical pickers. There wasn't enough folks to pick it all, but by hand.
Now, let's suppose some of the smaller farms had finished all their work and you still had a lot of work here on your big farm. Did some of those Mexicans come over from those?
Well, I don't remember, but we could have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got a time to go back home, and when that time comes, they're going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had some mechanical beans to finish up the harvest, we could do it that way.
Now, you mentioned that they had their own grapevine in terms of so-and-so was paying more than...
Yeah, that's true right now. they get wind of the folks with cell phones, you know, their buddies. They might want to, if they were driving tractors here for by the day, or having some fella put in his crop or cultivating it. If they got wind that's a better job, I think they'd probably hit you up for a raise if you didn't do it.
Did they get to choose which farm that they wanted to work on, or?
You hired them to a sight unseen to come up here.
Okay.
You put them over their farm.
Okay. If there's any time we need to take a break, let me know if we need to pause for a minute. Because, I mean, I've got a million questions, but if you need to take a break, let me know.
Okay? Yeah, well, let's take a break.
Okay. All right.
Haven't did much. Maybe you'll make something happen good.
Oh, you're doing a fine job. Did you ever... again, I talked to the guy yesterday, and he told me that he interacted with the Mexican workers. Mm-hmm. And what would happen is that they would teach him Spanish, and he would teach them things. Did you or any of the other farmers around here strike up any kind of relationships with
We tried to learn some of their words, you know, in the store, and learned leche, milk, that's just one of the words. You learn a little bit. It'd rub off on if you stayed with it.
Did they ever tell you any stories or anything like that about their home? Or?
No, I didn't get into that. We weren't that in that close communication.
Okay.
But I think they respected us and we respect them, so it's kind of what. And certainly they keep coming back. We got lots of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gone all over the whole United States pretty well. I see people, I talk to friends of mine in North Carolina. You've got Mexicans building homes or buying trailers and putting them on little lots. And they send money home to their families still in this generation.
Now you said that you had 90 people living in a schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you've got that many people living so close together, sometimes
that causes some problems, I imagine.
Were there any type of problems that you remember?
No, they didn't have any. The accidentals, this fella shot himself with his pistol stuck down his jeep top.
Mm-hmm.
But we, as far as we knew, if they had troubles, they came over there. It's about a quarter of a mile across here is where we had the old schoolhouse we built. And we had a latrine, and it had a force pump, a pitcher, what we call a pitcher pump. So I guess we met most of the standards of all the recommendations that they put out to us, or they wouldn't have let us have that many, I don't believe.
Now the guy who shot himself, after he was taken care of, what happened to him?
Well, I guess he came out here to pick cotton.
So
he went and caught the same bus back to the same truck back to the border, I imagine that.
So they didn't send him back for having a gun or anything like that?
No, it was accidental.
Okay. Okay. let's talk about the medical care. If anybody got sick or if anybody was injured or anything like that, how were they treated?
We would send them to the local doctors and treat them just like everybody else. Fortunately, that didn't happen. Thank goodness, but the one that we that got it shot accidentally, we carried him to the university hospital.
Mm-hmm. And that was in Little Rock?
In Little Rock, yeah. And I'm sure I went up there. Maybe I'm the guy that might have checked him in.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who paid for that?
I don't know.
His treatment or anybody's treatment?
Well, actually, everybody has a fire of liability insurance. Mm-hmm. We don't want somebody suing us for some big bunch or a little bunch. So we carry farmer's liability.
Okay.
And that probably could have took care of it.
Okay. Did they use any special type of tools or anything like that when they worked in the fields? Or was it just bare hands?
Well, that's it. Gloves and bare hands. Just picking cotton. Mm-hmm. Dragging that sack. You grew up there still with the people. Did they pick any cotton by hand when you were a young fella?
A little bit.
Not much.
Not much.
Yeah, folks got smart.
The gentleman yesterday told me that what his Braceros would do, they would take two cotton sacks and somehow put them together so they could pick more cotton and get more money. Did you see anything like that?
I don't think so. I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. But you just pick, I guess, they had the gift of picking cotton. Mm-hmm. Most of the colored people would rather pick cotton because you get paid for what you pick. Well, you do. If you're paying them out there, everybody gets the same chopping cotton. Whether it's $3 a day or $4 or $5, whatever it was, you paid your people.
So they would work, how many days a week would they work?
Some of them work 6 days.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm assuming Sunday they would take off?
Yeah, and I'd say Saturday afternoon if they went to town. Mm-hmm. I'd have just worked 5 and then had that day and Sunday to wash their clothes and clean up. Cut each other's hair if they needed.
Cut each other's hair?
I imagine they did.
Okay. Did they attend any church services or anything like that?
We didn't have anything but the colored church right up the road.
Okay.
They didn't. I'd say they're more, if you had a Spanish population in some of these little towns, the chances are they'd have to go to their Catholic church. I guess most all you Mexicans are Catholic.
Did they worship among themselves on Sunday?
I don't know.
Like
I okay. don't know.
Okay. What was the average day like? What time did they get started?
Well, you pick cotton when the dew gets off. Mm-hmm. Some of them go beat a little bit, pick a little down the road, but they'd get wet too, you know. Just from dew till dew falls. Till the dew goes away in the morning, till it starts in the evening.
So that would be sometime around sunrise, maybe, or?
No, about 9 or 10 o'clock is when the dew gets off.
Okay.
You get out here, go get your paper at 8 o'clock. Now it's dew all over your car, your windshield.
And so they would begin work at that point, and then work for what, till lunchtime, or did they work through lunch? Or
I mean, they carried a lunch with them. They didn't want to have to go back and cook. Mm-hmm. That's where they eat the tortillas, I guess. Whatever.
Did they take a lot of breaks, or?
No. Not that I knew of. Mm-hmm.
How did the crew leader, what was his, again, job out in the field? Was he?
He'd weigh the cotton.
Weigh the cotton?
Keep a record of it. Somebody out to I don't know how we did. I've forgotten. We probably paid off every day.
Was the crew leader paid more than?
I don't know. He got some. He was compensated for his time. If he owned the truck, he was kind of got above the. Since he could do English and do arithmetic and.
Was the crew leader, was he Mexican?
Some of them were. Yeah, I think a lot of them were.
And so would the crew leaders live here?
We're right there in the camp with the rest of them.
Okay. But after the workers went back, would the crew leaders stay here in this area?
No, I think they went on back to their own homes in Mexico.
Okay.
That's why they carried those pictures, those going to put out wells in their community.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And how long did you use the Mexican workers back, and this was what, about 1950?
51 or 2, 3, somewhere in there.
How many years did you use those workers?
About 2 or 3.
Okay.
We do something better.
And then after the reason, what was the reason you stopped using them?
John Deere made a 2-row picker, and International had a 2-row picker.
Mm-hmm. So it was mechanization that
took care of it.
Took care of everything. Okay. What about for the folks who...
People in your area at Lake City used them in the summer, all summer we didn't have them either, chemicals. Mm-hmm. Weed control. And those people kept people's cottons clean or fairly clean or walked in and got out to cut down the big stuff that's tear up a cultivator or a cotton picker when it goes through the field harvest in the fall.
So they did other work than just pick cotton?
Not here. Mm-hmm. But the Lake City used a lot of migrant labor to cultivate and clean out their cotton, get it ready for cotton for the fall.
Mm-hmm. For some of the farmers who may not be able to afford a tractor, did they still use the Braceros at that time?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. I think the guys it was time for tractors when they came in. People that go to the bank, say, I got a pair of mules, I want to trade on a tractor. You get me a trade going. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going on. And they take the mules and do something else with them. Take them out of the cotton fields. And of course, people use horses and mules in the haying operations. They had a place for them to, a lot of people use horse-drawn equipment for up through the, maybe through the 50s. But then you got your kids growing up in different sites. They're more mechanical. They can learn to run a hay baler and mowing machine and the hay rake.
If there was ever a time while they were here and it rained.
Oh, yeah.
And they couldn't work in the fields, what?
They sit around over there at their camp, I guess.
Really?
Played cards. They may gamble. That might have been what they did. I never did go around much.
Okay.
They'd had their privacy and I had mine.
Okay.
I think we all respected each other.
Well, is there any other stories that you can think of, or any other things come to mind?
Not really. I may tell you two from my life about something that happened come to my mind, but I have thought about it, and I don't think of anything earth-shattering.
How would you evaluate the experience of their work and them working in this area and things like that?
Well, it was a necessary thing. We needed cotton picked, and we didn't have the local labor or from the local area labor. There just wasn't enough. So they served a good purpose while they were here. And they're still doing that here in America. You stop and think, they didn't own the cotton mills particularly because we're pretty well mechanized, but you have the Spanish influence from the truck farming in the valley all the way up through here. You have people that work in the hospitals, you know, orderlies of some type or other, maintenance people. Dairymen use Mexican groups. It's when you milk cows around 3 times a day, 7 to 24. Mm-hmm. They had some good jobs in the dairy. I say good jobs, they were steady jobs. You know, they're there every day.
Somebody told me that they would pick the fields clean, that some of the other non-Mexican workers usually left a lot of cotton in the field, but the Mexicans would pick the fields clean.
Would say that's pretty good. But I think most people growing up on here did a pretty fair job. The one reason I didn't pay all that much attention, when we got through at the cotton field, we put the cattle in there. They ate their little white piece of cotton. That was part of our wintering process. We might have planted some ryegrass or something with a plane to give us a little cover crop. And we turned the cattle out there, and that's how we figured how to be. They ate the cotton, old cotton bolls. They were just, you know, if you had boll weevil problem, if they were overwintering in a cotton patch and you had cattle on it, there weren't many weevils going to overwinter there. They'd have to go to the woods and get behind the bark on a tree or something, you know, to.
Well, all right then. I'm gonna go ahead.
Save your battery.